and bread. I'll do a supplementary for Sunday. I adjusted the slide a little bit. Sunday over here, we had honesty instead of divine revelation, and then we just had fatherhood. But I've made it more uniform, and this evening I'm gonna run over some of the things that I missed out on Sunday, and then I will also convert what we learned into prayer topics that we're gonna pray upon tonight. Amen. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. The book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. Say amen. Colossians chapter 2 from verse 8. All right. It says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of man, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Father, we pray that tonight, as we study your word and as we pray, your presence, your power, and your glory will be with us in Jesus' name. Amen. Right. Now, we learned the second commandment, you shall not make any graven image of things in heaven, of things on earth, of things under the earth. And we learned that the premise for that commandment is to make it wrong to misrepresent God. Make it wrong to misrepresent God in any way. Wrong to propagate falsehood. Wrong to misinterpret the word of God. Amen. In any way. And we established that there are four ways by which we come to the knowledge of the truth. Four ways. The first way is by divine principles. Divine principles that are given to us through the Word of God. The Word of God in black and white. Amen? The Word of God in black and white. What God says about himself. Now, that is a divine principle, which is a precept, a rule, a command of God. A rule, a command of God. Thou shalt not steal. It's a precept. It's a principle. Right? Thou shalt not kill. It's a rule. It's a principle. It's a precept. Right? These are fundamentals of life. There are a lot of them, about 600 commandments that God gave through Moses. Now, all those principles had a relevance with human life in various ways. These rules are premises upon which God created the heavens and the earth. Now, anytime man tries to put into place a law, a rule, a commandment that is not in agreement with these pillars of truth, we call it a worldly principle or a worldly rudiment. And every worldly rudiment is a misrepresentation of God. Hallelujah. It's a misrepresentation of God. Now, human beings have come to realize that if you can set the rules, you will control everything. In fact, you will control the wealth of people if you can set the rules. The banks are a typical example. With a little rule, they can make millions. By passing a rule that if you don't transfer your balances, or if you don't have money to a certain level, certain cap, by the end of the month, they'll charge you an extra fee. You can imagine how many people will become victims and how much money the bank will make. So those in authority, in fact, in the business world, most of the big corporations have lobbyists who work in Washington. And what their work is basically to lobby the government to pass a rule that will favor their enterprise, a rule that will favor their business. And by reason of one rule, someone can become a billionaire overnight. One rule that is tweaked in their favor. So when a rule violates the word of God, and we see in the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, how that the rule of Nebuchadnezzar, have everyone bow to that golden image, got them in a trouble. But there is one thing about a rule that is hinged on the word of God, a rule that does not misrepresent the word of God, that rule will stand the test of time. It will stand against the element of fire. They could not be burnt by the fire because of the purity of what they were standing on. They were standing on the second commandment. Thou shalt not bow. Thou shalt not make an image, and you shall not bow. The purity of the rule that they were standing on. Now, tonight, I want you to know that a divine principle, David says, is like silver that has been tried through fire seven times. It gets purer and purer. When you hinge your life or your work or any aspect of your existence on a principle, it cannot be destroyed by persecution, by trial. It cannot be destroyed by anything that exists.
Because it is the very core of God's own existence. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Anybody fighting a principle of God's Word that you uphold in your life is literally fighting against God. That's why when Nebuchadnezzar stretched his head, he saw, instead of three men, he saw four. Instead of three men that were bound, he saw four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire. He became convicted. Pull them out. He was convicted. He was convicted. There is power in the Word of God. And any time that we misrepresent God, any time that we twist the Word of God, we remove the power out of the Word. We remove the power out. And that's what's happening to us in this generation. We misrepresent God in His Word. We want to interpret the Word of God the way it is convenient for us, the way that it conforms with mainstream society. And by reason of that, the power is taken out of the Word, because the Word of God is pure. The Bible says, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The Word of God is pure, and we must preserve it in its pure state. You see, the Bible says that the Word of God is like a double-edged sword. It first convicts you before it convicts others. If it can't convict you, then it can't convict anybody. If it can't work on you, if it can't change you, then it can't change any other person. The Word of God in its purest form convicts. It convicts. The three guys told Nebuchadnezzar, he says, King, don't be disturbed about whether our God will save us or not. That doesn't bother us. King was shaking. Who is he that can deliver you out of my hand? Who? No God. The fire is waiting. Just bow and be free. He said, King, stop bothering your head. You will be destroyed in that fire. No, King, don't be perturbed. It doesn't matter whether our God comes through or not. It's not a question of we are shouting, oh, our God will save us, our God will save us. No, it doesn't matter. Oh, hallelujah. What a relationship with truth. That's the second commandment. But today, the church is guilty of trying to tone down the power of God. We're more interested in people coming into our churches and filling our pews than to having God glorified. You can't have it either ways. In the days of Jesus, there are days when he will preach the truth and everyone will turn their backs on him. It was a reality. And as a man of God, as a church, if you don't have the stomach to stand by truth and have people reject you for truth, then there is another God you're serving, but not the God who created the heavens and the earth. We must have the stomach for empty pews. Have the stomach for crowds. People left him. The Word of God is powerful. In its pure state, it will heal. In its pure state, it will deliver. In its pure state, it will set free. Hallelujah. The conviction comes with healing, with deliverance. The pure Word. the pure word, the pure word, the pure truth. And that was the purpose of the second commandment. Don't misrepresent God. Don't turn God into a four-footed beast. Don't turn God into something that he has created. What he has created only has a tiny little attribute of God. The Bible says when people did that in the Roman era, God says that that's why people are given over. Over to work all form of immorality. Because they changed the truth into a lie. Change the truth into a lie. That's the first thing we're going to pray today. We're going to travail. We're going to travail that God will pour fresh water on us. The convicting power of the word. The sanctification that comes through the truth. Jesus said, sanctify them by the truth, for thy word is truth. Not every word is truth. Thy word. Thy word. Thy word is truth. Hallelujah. The second thing we're going to pray about is deception. Deception is the second tool that the enemy uses. Deception. Enemy concocts information. Because we make decisions in life based on information. So if I can concoct a lie, so that you can believe what I am selling to you, concoct a lie, that lie is a tool of manipulation. It's a tool of deception. And the enemy uses that a lot. Friends use that. Enemies use that. And we must be careful, even as parents, as we raise children, never to use deception as a tool of training. Times we think they're kids, so we can concoct a story to the kid instead of telling the truth to the child. As the child grows up, he discovers that what you said was a lie. I had such a case where a young man, he was now grown up. The mother had told him that if he ate some particular local food, either he was going to see his father or he was going to grow big or something, some lie like that. So we're sitting in a meeting and then the boy reminded the mother, "You mean just like you lied to me when I was a little kid? That if I eat that local food, that will happen to me. Now you're trying to sell a lie again to me. That's not going to work." Now, this young man now, if he didn't even confront his mother with it, it registers in the mindset of that child, of that young man, that you can use deception to have your way. You can use deception to have your way. We're going to pray against the spirit, against deception. The way God works with us to deal with deception, Sunday I spoke about honesty. You must be honest with yourself as a human being. Hallelujah. Be honest with yourself. The Bible says that we shall remove all traces and appearance of evil. 1 Thessalonians. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. He says, abstain from all appearances of evil. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and I'll read from verse 19. He says, quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying. Now let's read verse 21 together and 22. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil. Abstain from all appearance of evil. If you live by deception, you are in a dirty, muddy water. Your discernment becomes clogged, and you can never discern truth if you yourself are a deceiver. If you are a deceiver, you will always be deceived, because you are living in that world of deception. You are unable to discern truth. There is a twisting of your senses of discernment. So when you are honest with yourself, when you are honest with people, God makes your discernment pure. The blood of Jesus works on your discernment, keeps your discernment pure. Share with me, the blood of Jesus activates and keeps my discernment pure. You can't have pure discernment if you are not honest with yourself. Keep telling lies, deceiving this person, deceiving that person, deceiving that person, deceiving that person. You know, after a while, you lose track of what you said to her, what you said to him, what you said to... You lose track of it, and you start to contradict yourself. Prove all things. In the book of Titus, he says,